277. Joy to the world. Amen. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, for as the curse is found, for as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love. Amen. 278. Little town of Bethlehem. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of His head. No ear may hear His coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive Him still, the dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Thank you, Lord. Come, Father. 46, that a good one.
They tell me the story of Jesus is old, and they ask that we preach something new. They say that the babe and the man of the cross for the wise of this world will not do. It can never grow old. It can never grow old. Though a million times over the story is told. While sin lives unvanquished and death rules the world, the story of Jesus can never grow. Yet the story is old as the sunlight is old, and new every morning the same. As it floods all the world with its gladness and light, kindling far away stars by its flame. It can never grow old. It can never grow old. Though a million times over the story is told. While sin lives unvanquished and death rules the world, the story of Jesus can never grow. Or what can we say to the weary of heart if we reach not salvation from sin? And how can we comfort the souls that depart if we tell not how Christ rose again? It can never grow old. It can never grow old. Though a million times over the story is told. While sin lives unvanquished and dead. song that the story can never grow old. It can never grow old. It can never grow old, though a million times over the story is told. While sin lives unvanquished and death rules the world, the story of Jesus can never grow.
Amen.
I wrote down scriptures that are prophecy from the Old Testament, predicting what Jesus would do when he came, where he would be born, and everything. So that's kind of the essence of my sermon today. I think that most of you may know some of these things, but I'm going to tell you what Mary was told to name her baby boy, literally, in the Hebrew language, was Yeshua. Yeshua. That's the Hebrew. That's the same as the name Joshua in the Old Testament. Most of us know who Joshua was. He was a very mighty man of God that took over Israel after Moses was gone off the scene. Moses passed away, went to be with God. And his name is Joshua. But in the Hebrew, it's pronounced Yeshua. Okay? Yeshua. And what does it mean? They name people names in the Bible that meant something. And I was named Anita, little Anne, it means, or Grace. But my mother wasn't thinking about that when she named me. And I'm sure that your mom was probably not thinking about what your biblical name meant when you were first born. But in the Bible times, they tried to name a child something very specifically out of the Bible, out of their thoughts about what it meant. So the name Joshua, or Yeshua, as Jesus' name, Jesus is the Greek, by the way, it means in the original to deliver or to rescue. So see, Joshua in the Old Testament delivered the children of Israel out of the wilderness into the promised land. Jesus Christ is our deliverer and our rescuer. He has delivered us out of the bondage of sin into the realm of God, hasn't he? Then in the New Testament, the word named Jesus, which we revere so much, how about if we'd all start saying, thank you, Yeshua, thank you. There are people that do that, you know, right now in this world that are Christians that pronounce it that way. But if we use this name, it's translated from the Greek text and the Latin, and the Bible stayed in this form of Latin for centuries. The common man could not read it. You know that, don't you? The common man was not allowed to read it. They were told that they could not understand the Word of God. And so they weren't able to read about Yeshua. They were told different things about Yeshua, and not always facts, not always the truth. But God spoke to Mary. He said, the name of the child shall be, and it's actually pronounced like this, Jehoshua in the Hebrew. And later we call it Joshua in our text. And so there were three other people in Bible times named Joshua, but none of them were the Lord Jesus, were they? His birth proved that he was God. At his very birth, he was named Jehoshua, or as we say, Yeshua in the Hebrew. It was predicted in the Bible in Micah 5:2 where he would be born. In the Old Testament, Micah 5:2 says, but thou, Bethlehem, thou Bethlehem Ephrathah, which means fruitfulness, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, Yet out of these shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler or to reign and have dominion and power. And Israel, whose going forth have been of old from everlasting. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. That's the prophecy of where he would be born. Why was he born there? Because he was of the Jewish line of King David, and Bethlehem is called the city of David. And so God allowed him to be born in Bethlehem. He was living in Nazareth, and I think most of you know that Joseph, if King David had been reigning on the throne of Israel down through the lineage, Joseph would have been the king of Israel. Did you know that? His lineage, you can read it in Matthew 1. You can read the lineage of Christ tracked down from all the way through to Joseph. He wasn't really Jesus's rightful father, was he? Because Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that in Mary's life, I think it's chapter 2 of Luke, the latter part, it shows her genealogy. She also came from King David. And when the line of David was discarded, God set them aside because of their unbelief and their ways, Mary's line would have been in order, in line for the king's kinghood. I've always marveled at that. Through another son of David. It's a precious thing, isn't it, to think about. So he could have been king on either side. And God, knowing in his foreknowledge that Joseph was not the real father of David, of Jesus, he calls him to be born of a virgin Mary, who was the direct line of King David through another son. Isn't that a precious thing? Now in Isaiah 7:4, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." That word Emmanuel is the title of God, and it means God is with us. So at the same time, Micah the prophet, it's the same time. Micah lived during Isaiah's time, okay? Micah predicted that he would be born there in Bethlehem. Isaiah comes along and the Lord gives him this prophecy, "A virgin shall conceive and it shall be a sign to you." It's going to be a sign to you that the child that she's bearing will be called Emmanuel. Praise the Lord. A sign, that word sign, I like to look up words, you know, so as you know that. In that Hebrew word, that word sign means a beacon or an evidence. A beacon or an evidence. And in Luke, the first chapter, we read there that the angel of God appeared unto Mary there and told her that she was going to conceive by the Holy Spirit, and a child would be born, which would be the Son of the Highest, and that his name was to be called Jesus. Praise the Lord. Jesus is the name that we know him by. Praise God for the faithfulness of God. That is in Luke 1:27 on down. And notice, I will just read in verse 35, "The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee." And that word overshadow means to invest with proper and in the natural, invest, I can't read my own writing, invest with. So the Holy Spirit came on her and he created this child that was a God's son in her. "Therefore also that holy child, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And Mary says in verse 38, "Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." So another prophecy was fulfilled at that time. Glory to God. And the second thing I want to look at was his behavior proved that he was the Son of God. Christ's behavior in life. He went about to do his father's will, even at age 12. We don't know about him much before that. You know, people like to tell stories about Jesus, you know, like when he's 2 years old and he heals one of the other kids and all these things. I don't necessarily believe that's true. We don't. It's like the quiz I gave you. It doesn't say that. So we know that when he got to be of age, then he was empowered by the Holy Spirit there in the River Jordan, and he began his ministry, don't we? But he proved that he was the Son of God. His love for all, whether poor or rich or friendly or rejectors, it didn't make any difference to him. He loved them all. His conduct proved he was God. He was absolutely sinless. He always depended on God, his Father, though he could have called 10,000 angels to come and rescue him. That's what the scripture says. His miracles proved he was God. He fed the 10,000 with bread and fish, just a few, touching and healing even lepers. He calmed the storm and he walked on the water. He did all of those things, didn't he? Because he was the Son of God. He could have defended himself. He could have called angels to deliver him. But he healed his enemy's ear when that man came out to capture him there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Peter got over exuberant and draws out a sword and chops the man's ear off. Jesus reaches up and touches him and heals his ear. What a savior. Praise the Lord. And then he was there on the cross and he gave up his own life after the penalty for sin was completely paid and the sacrifice for our sins made for us and all the world. He said, "It is finished." He wasn't just saying his life was finished. He was saying, "The job is done. All people who come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are redeemed. They are saved. Praise the Lord." He had claims. His claims proved that he was God. The high priest condemned him for answering when the high priest asked him if he claimed to be God. And Jesus answered and said, "I am." You know, those words are particular words. He wasn't just saying, "Oh, yes, I am." He was saying, "I am," because in the Old Testament, God was called the great I am. Jesus was the Son of God. He was God. That's why he could perform those miracles. He showed himself to be God. He dismissed his own spirit. Which one of us can do that? We're humans. We can't dismiss our own spirit. But he was God. When the redemption was done, God had turned his back on him because he was made sin, and he was hanging there on that cross. He dismissed his own spirit. He gave up the ghost and died for our sins. Praise the Lord. He showed himself to be God, rising from the dead. Rising from the dead. Amazing. Is that ascending into heaven? Who do you say he is? Who do you say he is? Is he just that little baby in the manger that people talk about and write Christmas cards about? No. He is the Son of the living God, and he lives on high for us. Another prophecy in Genesis 3:15 said that the seed of the woman, Eve's descendants, because they sinned in the garden, they were put out of the garden, but yet God said, "Your seed, Eve, will bruise the serpent's head." Praise the Lord. The serpent's seed will bruise your child's heel. Jesus' heel was bruised on the cross, but the prophecy that he would die on the cross and bruise the serpent's head, that really happened, didn't it? And in Numbers 24:17, a star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel. And that's when the star shone, didn't it, at Jesus' birth? And of course, Jesus was a star. There are so many other prophecies I could read, and I wrote them all down for you because I didn't know if I'd have time. But praise God, Isaiah 11:1, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. Jesse was David's father. And he says, a shoot's going to come out of this dry ground where the roots are all dead. And at the time of Jesus, it was like the roots were all dead. Jesus came forth at that time when there was not much hope. They were under Roman government, and then they had this horrible, horrible man, Herod, that was a king over them who claimed Jewishness, but yet was not really a Jew. Jeremiah 23:5-6, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign and do what is just and right in the Lord. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Praise the Lord. So I'm not going to read the rest of them because I've got several pages more. But all of those scriptures that were in the Old Testament, I'm going to give you a copy. And I want you to look them up at home and realize that this was not just a spur-of-the-moment thing to God. He didn't just wake up that morning. Of course, we know he never sleeps. And think to himself, oh, I think I'll send my son down there. This was planned before the foundation of the world. When Adam and Eve sinned there in the garden and threw all the whole human race into this sinful condition, it wasn't a second thought. God had all this planned. The scripture tells us in three places before the foundation of the world. This was planned before the foundation of the world. Glory to God. So Jesus Christ has come, and we are looking for him the second time. He's going to come. He's going to be here. And it's going to happen anytime. He gave them signs to look for. He gave us signs to look for. We're looking for the second coming of Christ to be right away given to us. Glory to God. We're going to sing a song now, and in closing, and Brother Jim is going to come and lead that for us.
282.
Adore him. Oh, come, let us adore.
Jesus, to thee.